7 past 7, if you like the idea of keeping more of your own money, then has Chris Luxon got a deal for you? In a State of the Nation address, all taxes introduced under Labor would be reversed. That's the Brightline extension, the regional fuel tax, interest deductibility on rentals, the proposed light rail tax, the job insurance scheme. They would also adjust three tax brackets to better account for inflation. Now, Chief Economist at the New Zealand Initiative, Eric Crampton, is with us along with Deloitte partner with the tax team, Robin Walker. Morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Start with you, Eric. So Luxon says yesterday someone on the average wage now has a marginal tax rate of 33%. Someone on the minimum wage only has to work 44-hour week to face a tax rate of 30 cents in the dollar. That's ridiculous, he says. Is he right?
Sure. We haven't had any inflation adjustments to the tax threshold since 2010. There's been a lot of accumulated inflation since then. If you were to look back to 2010, you would have needed to have had the 17.5% rate come in at around $9,800 rather than $14,000 to have it comparable to what it is now with inflation.
You see that, Robin?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So the idea, there's no ideological right or wrong here. There's no black or white. You either take some money or you don't take some money. Is anyone on the right side of this, or do you just make up your own mind?
I think it's probably for people to decide what the bigger picture is for their own circumstances. I mean, we kind of tend to look at tax in isolation, and that's my job. But there is the bigger picture of there's a bunch of people here that are getting effectively their tax back through transfer payments, but there's also a bunch that basically don't get anything, depending on what your life situation is. And so, I mean, I guess there's a question of what's the bigger picture and the impacts of different people. But ultimately, I think, I mean, one of the questions which inflation indexing doesn't address is even just the fact that we have a 33% tax rate cutting in currently at 70,000, potentially going to 78,000. Mm. That's still very low to be paying a third of your income over in taxes.
And that's before you get to GST, which puts you over the halfway mark. And it's the feeling, isn't it? $70,000 is not rich or anywhere close to it.
Correct.
And we accept that. Now, once upon a time, $70,000, you were doing very well for yourself. Eric, as far as you're concerned, what about things like the Brightline test on housing? They'll argue, well, the moment you go, investors will be back, the housing market will be off and running again. Do you accept that argument or not?
Well, I think the proposals that Luxon's made there are good because the initial tax changes are bad. The changes in interest deductibility never made sense. It put a wedge into the tax system that disfavored property investment compared to other kinds of business investments. That wasn't so hot. The bright line rule, anything that it's doing that's valuable would be better done by IRD policing a little bit more harshly. And the folks who are doing property do-ups and flipping them as source of income, that should already be caught as wage and salary income. The bright line rule at 5 years was catching any bits that weren't being caught. 10 years is catching a lot of people that shouldn't be caught unless the government actually wanted to put in a comprehensive capital gains tax. The other really nice thing that I heard from Luxon yesterday was a promise to get rid of the wage insurance scheme, so the unemployment insurance scheme, yeah, and to reverse it. So that's really encouraging because the last thing that you want is them actually to be wanting to get rid of it, but not to foreshadow it. So you wouldn't want to wind up in a spot where people cancel their own personal income insurance because they think the government's got it, and then NAFLA comes in to abolish the thing. So then that gets all messy. If we've all got a clear signal that National would reverse that, then we can take action accordingly.
Robin, when Grant Robertson said yesterday, this is a bad idea because it's the most inflationary thing someone can do, is that true?
I would not tend to agree, but I'm not an economist, so that might be better for Eric to answer. I guess one of the things, though, is I find it quite interesting that it was just blanketly ruled out. And, I mean, shouldn't it be, what's wrong with saying, well, we can look at it? Shouldn't the role of the government be to constantly evaluate tax rates and confirm, even if it's just to confirm that the status quo is correct?
Mm. Very good point. As far as the stuff, and you make the point, Eric, as far as the stuff that hasn't happened, the regional fuel tax, for example, which applies only to Auckland, a chunk of it hasn't even been spent. Therefore, if it went, it wouldn't be a loss, would it?
Well, it depends what was being planned with that, right? So Auckland Transport does need to be funded one way or another. Luxon talked about getting rid of the proposed light rail tax. If they're going to be going ahead with transport improvements in Auckland, that needs to be funded somehow. But it's worth looking again at
but
how transport is funded
you,
overall.
Let me just interrupt. What's
sure.
What's a transport improvement? It's not Te Huia. Is it a line down Dominion Road to the airport that no one's going to use? Is that an improvement or just an expenditure?
You'd have to ask a transport expert rather than me, sorry.
Very political. Appreciate your time very much, Eric Crampton, Robin Walker, who are in the business of economics and tax, of course. Robin Walker from Deloitte and Eric Crampton, Chief Economist at the New Zealand Initiative. 12 minutes past 7. By the way, speaking of